Bekutte Siches, Chelek Yud Alef, Parsha Yisroi, Siche Beis. Ma'akosuf Shebe Aseres Adibis Shabbos Hashem Alekecha. In regards to the Pasuk in the Aseres Adibis, which says Shabbos to Hashem, L'meidim Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi learns as follows. Shvois Kehashem. You should rest like Hashem rested. Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu Shabbos M'maymer. Just like the Eibush Hashem rested from speaking, because he created the world through ten sayings, statements. Af ato shvois b'maimer, so also you should rest from speaking certain things on Shabbos. Haynu, shagozu chachamim shvisas shvisim mediburim binyanim alocha. In other words, that the chachamim prohibited speaking matters of malocha on Shabbos. That not only should you not do malocha, but you're not allowed to even speak about what you want to do and so on Shabbos. V'asmuchu akra, and they supported it from the pasuk Shabbos to Hashem alekecha. It should be Shabbos to Hashem, shvois ka Hashem. In other words, you should rest in the same way that Hashem rested, just as He rested. The geshem shal ha'adam lishbois b'malacha, that in just like a person must rest from doing work. Kishesh yisyomem osa Hashem es ha'shamayim. Because just as Hashem created the world in 6 days, he rested on the seventh day, so also a Yid has to rest from speaking about Malacha, because Hashem rested from speaking on Shabbos. And then, as a continuation to this, the Yerushalmi also says, there was a story with a certain chassid. He went for a walk in his vineyard, the Shabbos, on Shabbos. He saw a place that was broken. So he thought that tonight, after Shabbos, I need to fix this broken fence. But Omar, then he said, he reconsidered, since I thought about fixing it on Shabbos, Eini Goydra Lo'ilamis, I will never fix that break, because I had planned to do it on Shabbos, I made the plan to do it, therefore I'm not going to do it. The Hainu, in other words, what the Yerushalmi is saying is, the Midas Chassidus Chassid, that it's an additional level of commitment as a Chassid, Lizor Gamim Machshevus Malacha, that one should be careful not only of speaking about Malacha, but even to think about Malacha, as this Chassid, only because he thought to fix it, he already decided not to fix it, he doesn't even want to think about Malacha on Shabbos. V'hine, Sipra Zeh Muvah B'Yerushalmi B'Hemshel Ladrush, Ladrash Shabbos L'Hashem Alekecha Shveiz Kashem. This story is said in the Yerushalmi as a continuation to that drush that we said before, Shabbos L'Hashem, that you shouldn't speak about Malacha. So we understand then that the Gamas Hirus Mamachshevus Malacha, that even this additional level of being Zahirus, of not even thinking about Malacha, but Midas Chassidus, for one that wants to be on the level of Chassidus, he Shayeches LaLimud Shvois Kashem, is also connected to what the Yerushalmi says, that one should rest just like Hashem rested. Dehine kamoi the almin the izgalian nivru v'chayim hisgalus and hisgalu keiches on shachos ne'lama is just like the revealed worlds, which means the physical world as we know it. They were created and they continued to exist from this revelation that came about from a concealed place to a revealed place, and that's what's called a mamorais that Hashem spoke, that He brought it from a concealed state to a revealed state. And what's called the word of Hashem, and so to speak, the breath of His voice, similar to the words of speech by a person, that it comes from a concealed place. Before you speak, nobody knows what you're thinking. When you speak it, now they know. So Hashem also brought things from a concealed state, from Almadiz, the Skasya, from a concealed place, and he brought it to a revealed state in the physical world. So just like that's what's called creation of the physical world through speech. Kach Alman Stimin, the Loyiz Galion, so also the hidden worlds, which never get to be revealed. They're never revealed. They always remain concealed because they're in their spiritual state, like the spiritual worlds. Heim hamis havim v'chayomim v'chayomim mekechas and hamshachas ne'alamais v'hamshachas ne'alamais. They also come forth and are brought about through these hidden, concealed places. K'mei oisus ha'machshava. But they are brought forth through the word, the letters of machshava, of thought. Shemanishmas adam alach moshel, just like by a person who thinks, and when he thinks, it still remains concealed. So the Eibishter also creates worlds which continue to be concealed because they still remain in their spiritual state. They are created through machshava. So Hashem created both the revealed worlds and the concealed worlds in the 6 days of creation. And then on the seventh day on Shabbos, he rested from all this work that he was doing. In other words, also he rested from creating the hidden, concealed worlds. So therefore he rested in his thinking as well. And therefore, as it's the same thing, Shvayis Ka Hashem. In Midas Chassidus, even one should not think about Malacha, because just like Hashem rested from his thinking, which brought about the concealed world, so also a Chassid should also rest from thinking in matters of Malacha. The Tzarech Bir, so we have to understand the Kivan, Shenekudas HaTeichnes B'chiyuv Shvisas. Shenekudas. Yeah, bechiyuv shvisas adam b'shabbes mikol poleisa b'maisa. That a person is obligated to rest from any activity, and at least in the realm of maisa on Shabbos, dibur machshava as well as speech and machshava. He mipnei shakadosh baruch hu shabbos mikol melachta b'maisa dibur machshava is because Hashem also rested from his work both b'maisa, dibur, and also machshava, shveis kashem, and therefore we should do like Hashem and rest also. If so, loma chalukim heim the isurin. Why is there a difference in which type of isur applies to each one of these different categories, maisa, dibur, and machshava? Asiyas malacha osam in atayra, that actually doing the act of a malacha b'maisa is osam in atayra. Dibur, to speak malacha, is only osam in dibur seifrim, and thus hirus b'machshava. And whereas thinking, the prohibition to think, it's not even a prohibition. Ein elam midas chassidus is only considered a midas chassidus, since they all are meant to replicate Hashem's activity and his ceasing from doing that on Shabbos. Why is there such a big difference in what is considered the level of prohibition? Beis. V'hinei tam achiluk shebein shvisa masiyas malacha la shvisa medibur. In explaining the difference between doing malacha and speaking malacha, Tzemach Tzedek explains, "Hashvisa medibur shalakos baruch hu zeu kamei shvisa maasiya." When Hashem rests from speaking to Him, that's like resting from actually making things happen. Kimeshe medibure shalakos baruch hu nasa maisa, because when Hashem speaks, things happen. It actually results in a maisa. So therefore, that is what leads to maisa. Masha'en kein dibur shel adam. Whereas when a person speaks, she'en mishave ma dibur maisa. When a person speaks, it doesn't lead to things actually happening. Ein achoshem maisa. Therefore, speaking for a person is not considered a maisa. V'lechein ein anu mitzuvim dei reis al shvisa ma dibur. And therefore, we are not prohibited min ha'teira to rest from speaking about malacha. Only to rest from doing things. In other words, that there is a difference between Hashem speaking, which actually leads to things happening. When a person speaks, it doesn't lead to things happening. Therefore, the prohibition, there is no prohibition in Torah for a person to speak about Malacha, because it doesn't lead to it happening. Afal pikein, but still, medivrei Kabbalah ne'emar, in the Tanakh it says, v'daber dover. And to speak, it mentions about keeping Shabbos through speech as well. Since in the end, Hashem actually rested from speaking, as we know. Just like the Yerushalmi, which we quoted earlier, says that just like he rested from speaking, so also you should rest from speaking. But it doesn't rise to the level of Maisa. Aval lechayra adayin chasabir, but still this needs more explanation. Mikivin shemidei raisa einanu mitzubim alashvisa ma'adibur, kivin shemidibur shalodim emisabim maisa. Since min dat Torah we are not commanded to rest from speaking about malacha because it doesn't lead to maisa. Because there is no comparison between the speech of Hashem and the speech of a person. By the speech of a person, it doesn't lead to Maisa, whereas by Hashem it does. If so, why did the Chachamim say that you should rest from speaking, since a person speaking doesn't lead to the same thing that Hashem speaking does? So how can you compare our speaking to Hashem speaking, and that because he rested from speaking, therefore we should rest from speaking? Even with the Rabbanim? So this will be understood by first explaining Amavur b'siyim sefer Tanya, that which is explained at the end of Tanya. Be'inyan azahirus b'dibah b'Shabbos, he speaks over there about a person has to be careful in how they speak on Shabbos. V'zeh l'shoyne. This is what he says. V'gam yizor ma'oyt shaloy lasuach shum sicha b'telach hazvashalom. A person should be very careful not to speak any non-important talk on Shabbos. Kibachol ha-mitzvahs, non-important in this context is, of course, Torah mitzvahs and so on. Ki non-Torah mitzvahs. Ki b'chol ha-mitzvahs yesh pnimiyus v'chitzoynis. Because in every mitzvah there is the inner practice of the mitzvah and the outer practice of the mitzvah. V'chitzoynis ma-shabbos hu shvisa ma-siyah gashmis. The outer dimension of keeping Shabbos is to not do any physical work. Just like the Eibishter ceased from doing any physical, bringing about any physical results, the physical world and so on. Pnimius Shabbos, and what is the inner dimension of keeping Shabbos? Hakavona b'tfila, tfilas Shabbos, that is being more focused on davening on Shabbos, u'batalmud Torah, and in learning the dafka b'Hashem Echa, to cleave and connect to Hashem. Shabbos Hashem Elokecha, as the pasuk says, this is a Shabbos unto Hashem, v'zui b'chinas zocher, and that is the meaning of zocher as yom Shabbos. To remember is a positive, proactive activity of Shabbos, which is to connect to Hashem. V'chinas shomer b'pnimius, and what is the act of doing the mitzvah of shomer b'pnimius b'chitzenius? It means not to do any malacha. What is this shomer b'pnimius? Yashvisa mediburim gashmim, that is to cease from speaking about physical matters. Kumei sheshavas Hashem yud ma'amoros, just like Hashem stopped, ceased from saying the 10 statements. Shenivru b'em shmaim ba'oros gashmim, with which he created the physical world. So the inner dimension of shomer is not to speak things which are related to malach. Tzarech lahavin. So we have to understand. Number one, Levara Tam Ashirus Medibure Chayil B'Shabbos. In order for the Alter Rebbe to explain the reason why one should be careful not to speak weekly type discussions on Shabbos, Maspik L'Chayira would have been enough, it would seem, Lefarish Debechinu Shomer B'Pnimis Ashvisa Medburim Gashmim. Because the Shomer, if he would explain, that Shomer has two dimensions. There is the outer dimension and the inner dimension. The inner dimension is that you should stop from speaking matters of Gashmias. It would have been enough to explain that point, which is what he sets out to explain. Avo mipasha saloshim b'tanya mashma, but from the way he words it in Tanya, the yesh lo zashaychas l'mashkozul l'fneize, it seems that there is also a connection to what he says before he talks about the pnimius of Shomer, which is that he says the mitzvah zocher b'pnimiusi, by first explaining what the inner dimension of zocher is, hakavana b'tfilos shabbos, that one should be more focused on davening b'talmud Torah l'dafka b'ayvaya echad. So what's the connection between the explanation of zocher and its pnimius dike meaning with the prohibition midarabana not to speak on Shabbos, divrei chayil, or at least the inner dimension of it, which is one should be careful not to speak divrei chayil? Why does he need the introduction of zocher as well? Beis Messiah Madmur Azokin, the Alter Rebbe concludes there, Kamoisha Shavas Hashem, Yud Ma'amorah, Shenivur Bahem Shemayim Ba'oretz Gashmin. He finishes this whole conversation by saying that just like Hashem rested from the ten mamoros through which He created the physical world, it would seem that in regards to our discussion, what He wants to bring out here, Shvisa Medibah v'Shabbos, that one should be refrain from speaking on Shabbos things which are not Shabbostic. It would be enough, and to simply say that Hashem rested from the ten statements, so therefore we should also rest from ten statements, from speaking. Why does he have to add this idea that through these ten statements the Eibusha created the physical heaven and earth? For Adarabba, not only is it not needed, but to the contrary, it leaves a question, it leaves a problem. Al pia now, because based on what we said before, lachein ein onu mitzuvim b'dayraisa al shvisu me'adibur, we explained before that the reason why we are not commanded midayraisa, that we shouldn't speak about malacha, the reason is mikimish v'dibur shlokosh baruch hashem maisa, because there's a big difference between when Hashem speaks and we speak. When Hashem speaks, it happens, things happen. So therefore, based on this, by the Alter Rebbe now adding these words, that because Hashem, through the Asar, He rested from the Asar Maimoris, through which He created the heaven and earth, the physical heaven and earth. Madgisha, this emphasizes, as ha'i hishtavos ben dibra elyon dibra adam, the fact that Hashem, through His ten mamoras, created the physical heaven and earth, that brings to light, even more emphasized, that there's a vast difference between when a Yid speaks and when the Eibishter speaks. When a Yid speaks, nothing happens. When the Eibishter speaks, a lot happens. So therefore, why does the Alter Rebbe emphasize this point, which only serves to undermine his comparison between the Eibishter speaking and a Yid speaking, that a Yid shouldn't speak because the Eibishter stopped speaking? It's a big difference. The Eibishter created heaven and earth with His speech. So why emphasize that which undermines the comparison? In other words, by emphasizing that the Eibishter created the heaven, the physical heaven and earth through His speech, that contradicts what the Alter Rebbe is trying to say, that we should be compared to Hashem in our speech. Of course, how could we be compared? It's totally different. So why does he have to bring this in? Gimel ma'u adiyuk b'zeh shemaisif. What does he mean when he adds ba'shvisa midiburim gashmim k'meisha shavas havaye shemayim ba'oretz gashmim? He seems to be drawing a comparison between this word gashmim, which he applies to the speaking, that when a Yid speaks on gashmizdik matters, with the Eibishter creating the Shemayim Ba'aretz Gashmim. But what's the comparison? What's the connection between these two expressions of Gashmim? Dalit. Vabir b'chol zeh. So to explain all this. Begimul keichas ha'nevesh machshov v'dibur u'maise. When we talk about the three expressions of the soul, which are thought, speech, and action, there's a big difference between Maisa and the other two, which are Machshava and Dibur. How so? Maisa means my imprint on something which is outside myself. Maisa means to do something, to have an imprint on something which is not me. That's what I'm doing. I'm fixing, I'm doing, I'm making something which is outside myself. In other words, that the Koyach HaMaisa is very separate from me as a person and has its effect on something which is very much outside me. When we talk, however, about thought and speech, they both stem from within the person himself. They are there to bring out my ideas and my feelings to the outside. Thought serves to reveal my thoughts and my feelings to myself. And speech serves to reveal my thoughts and feelings to others. But there's there to reveal myself, what I am. Amnon b'pratius. However, when we talk more specifically, chilu gadol ben machshava v'dibur, even within machshava and dibur, there's a very big difference between thought and speech. B'shechusim l'maisa, at least in how they relate to maisa. Thought, the letters, the words that form our thoughts, they are very spiritual and very refined. They have no connection to Maisa at all. And therefore, Machshava only affects the person himself. And has no influence on anyone outside myself. They have no ability to be able to influence others because they don't even know what I'm thinking. Whereas when it comes to words of speech, they are more physical. Hevel gashmi, they come, they travel on actual air, which is expressed from my mouth. Shenitztayr le'esus, which becomes formed into letters, aleph, beis, and so on. Al yidei ha'metzoyos ha'pen, they're formed on the air that I express through the different five different parts of the mouth, which form the different letters. Akimus fasayim, and the movement of the lips, and so on. The nifrodus ma'adam, and they actually leave the person and they go outside the person. And they are much closer to the area of ma'isa because they do leave and they go outside. And therefore, there is somewhat of an ability for speech to have an influence on an actual thing that should happen. K'may mechazal, as our sages tell us, b'lav de machamer, in regards to the lav, that a person is not allowed to cause his donkey to walk with a package on Shabbos, because we are commanded that our animals should rest also. And if we put a package on the donkey and then we talk to it like, giddy up, and make it walk, so my voice is causing it to walk and do a malacha. So that is also prohibited. Another mashal for this is that when a king speaks, things happen. People act based on that. So as the pasuk says, that the words of a king are the rule, his how he rules. So therefore, we see that speech does have somewhat of an ability to affect actual things happening. Ulama machshava ein lo shayches lepeula, whereas machshava has no connection to peula at all. Ki avshe achlatos adam machshava may be yosel lepeula isav, because although it's true that a person acts because he thought to act, he wants to do something, so therefore he acts on his thoughts. Still, ein la machshava shiruchni is the actual words of thinking, which are very spiritual, shaychas v'lekirav l'pu'loisa, they are not connected to his acts. They only lead him to want to act, but the thought doesn't affect an act. Hey, the chiluk zebeim shebeim machshava l'dibur matzino gam ba'alocha. This difference between thought and speech, we can also find expressions of this in halacha. Isa b'gemara, the Gemara says, Itmar, we learned in a braisa, in a memra, chasma b'koil, that if a person, there is a prohibition for a person to muzzle his animal from eating while the animal is working with the grain, if he's trampling grain or doing whatever with grain, so you're not allowed to muzzle the animal. What happens if he muzzles the animal by his voice? What does that mean? That every time the animal bends its head down to eat some of the food, he screams at the animal, so the animal jerks back, and every time that happens, he does that. So through his voice, he is preventing the animal from eating. So is that prohibited? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev. Rabbi Yochanan says that he's Chayev Malkus for this, Mishum Lesachsim Sher B'dishay, because of the prohibition, the law which says, do not muzzle an animal when he is threshing. Akimas Piv Hava Maisa, and he gives the reason, because his movement of his lips is the act. V'havi Lei Lav She'ez Be Maisa, and therefore this becomes a law which has, it comes through an act, because of his movement of his lips, for like Yimolim, and therefore he gets Malkus. Rabbi Lishlokish Amar Potter. Whereas Rish Lakish says that he's exempt, he doesn't get malchus, kololay have a maisa, because his voice is not considered maisa. Over Taisus Hikshu. So the Taisus asks a question. Tema, the Taisus says, it's a big question, the big Peter Gimel the Shuas, because in Mesech the Shuas, Amar Rabbi Yechon, and there Rabbi Yechon, this same Rabbi Yechon, it says, Hoya Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yesi Aglili. He quotes Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yesi Aglili, who said, Kol lav she'em be maisa, ein loikin olav. Any law which doesn't involve an act, you don't get malchus. Chutz menishba umeimer makal, except for these three exceptions, somebody who swears falsely or in vain, meimer, if he transfers one a carbon from one animal to another animal, which is prohibited, and it also involves only speaking, umakalil, and somebody, chaber b'shem, somebody who curses another Jew with Hashem's name. So these are all averus which are done through speech. In those cases, you do get malchus, but in every other, no other lav would you get malchus if it doesn't involve an actual maisa. But the question is, right here in our Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, and this same Rabbi Yochanan says that the movement of the lips is considered a maisa. So then every speech, every aveda that is done through speech should be considered maisa, including the swearing and so on, that the three that he listed here, that he says except for those. In other words, those are considered to be a lav which is aimed by maisa, and yet you get malchus. But why is it aimed by maisa? That you're moving your lips, and he says moving the lips is considered maisa. Amai machshiv oisam lav she'aimed by maisa. So why does he consider them to be lav she'aimed by maisa? So that's what the Tosis asks. V'yeshleimer, and he answers the loikama Rabbi Yehuda akimus piv hava maisa. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say that akimus piv hava maisa. Elo hacham only here in this case mishum de bidiburei ka'ovid maisa, because through his speaking the animal actually, it causes the animal to act in a certain way. It leads to an act which is that the animal stops eating, which is the prohibited maisa. Shailechas v'dosha v'lo yachila, because the animal is unable to eat while she is threshing. So therefore, when speech leads to a maisa, which, like in this case, where it actually refrains from eating, that's why it's called akima. That's what he means when he says that it's a lav which has maisa. L'chayra, so that's what the Taisa says. L'chayra, the Rebbe asks, are mefurush b'gemara taimash Rabbi Yochanan? The Gemara doesn't say what Taisa says. The Gemara says something else. The Gemara says, explaining why Rabbi Yochanan considers it to be a lav sheyesh by maisa, and the reason the Gemara says is akimas piv, because the lips move. That's the reason that the Gemara says that it's a maisa. Olafi pirush Taisa, but according to the Taisa, achiyuvu loy machmas akimas asfasayim shenach sheves maisa. It seems that the Taisa is saying that the chiyuv is not because of the lips moving. That's what makes it into maisa, ki mishum debidaburai habahema isa maisa. Rather, the Taisa reframes it as the maisa act of it is because the animal does a maisa as a result of your voice. So that's the maisa. So how does that go with what the Gemara said? Lahalan eviu at betaisis kushas a Gemara. Further on, the Taisis brings another question from the Gemara. Al divir Rabbi Yochanan, also in the words of Rabbi Yochanan, dakimus fasav hama maisa, and he asks over there, eich ka'omer de megadev ve'edim zaymim im ein behem maisa. How is he able to say that megadev, which means somebody who curses Hashem God chas v'shalom, and edim zaymim, which means witnesses who lie or are caught lying, they are, how could he say that that's called ein behem maisa? V'achos ma bekoil Rabbi Yehuda chayev. And the reason why over there it's not maisa is because they're speaking. That's what it is. It involves speaking. But Rabbi Yehuda says that when somebody yells at its animal that it shouldn't eat, he does consider it maisa. So then why are these two not considered maisa? They're also speaking. Well, Mishani and the Gemara answer, Shani Eidim Zaymimin, that Eidim Zaymimin are different to Yeshnam Beria, because Eidim Zaymimin, the prohibition of it involves seeing. What they're testifying to is that they saw something happen. What is the main activity of a witness? I saw this happen. And in seeing, there is no maisa. That's what the Gemara answers. I mean, I had the question, I only bring this up, I don't want to get into this whole discussion, but I only bring it up because if you have the question, you should know that you're in good company, not my company, but many other Mefarshim. They also ask, Eidim Zaymimin, it's not Re'iya, they never saw anything. That's the point of Eidim Zaymimin. They're liars, they never saw that happen. Their Aveira is that they spoke a lie. That's what their Aveira is. So it doesn't really involve Riyah. So there are Mepharshim that talk about it and so on. We're not going to get into it over here, but that's, I only bring it up because I'm sure people must be thinking this question. So the Taisus explains regarding this, the Kushas HaGemara Eina Al Adin de Megadif. The Gemara's question is not on in regards to the Megadif, even though he says both, Megadif, the one who curses, and the Edim Zaymimin. The reason he doesn't ask about Megadif is Ki Megadif Lekavet Maisa B'Diburay, because Megadif is no comparison. He doesn't taka do anything through his speech. All he did was curse. Therefore, the Gemara doesn't want to compare it to somebody who yelled at his animal and caused it not to eat. In that case, there is a maisa which results from it. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't have a question from a Gadif. The Gemara's question is only from Ela Kusha Koyal Din Edim Zaymimin. The Gemara's question is only in regards to Edim Zaymimin. The Bidiburayu Misabid Maisa Shemischaiv Anodim, because through their speech they cause something to happen, which is that the person that who against whom they testified is going to somehow end up paying. Either he has to pay money or he's going to be punished or whatever it is that they testified about. So that leads to something happening. So there is more of a comparison between Edim Zaymimin and Chosma Bekoil. But it would seem lefis faras hataisus anal, according to what the taisus said earlier, shatam the chosma b'keil nechshav maisa, that the reason why chosma b'keil is considered a maisa einav shulad dibur atzmei is not because it comes from speech elo shayidei diburik ka'ovid maisa, but that through the speech it leads to an actual thing happening. In other words, the animal taka doesn't eat. Valderozav edim zaymim is chayiv anodin, and the edim zaymim has that similarity that the person is punished or something happens to the defendant as a result of their testimony, so the result of their speech. So therefore, Mamataritz Gemara Shine Edim Zaymim in the Yeshnam Beriya. What is the meaning of the Gemara's answer that Edim Zaymim, and it comes, it's because of what they saw rather than what they said? Upirush Rashi, and Rashi says an explanation of this answer, the Yeshnam Beriya, that Ikech Yuba Ba Al Yedei Reiya, that the main chiyuv comes through what they saw. They testify that they saw something, and seeing isn't a maisa, and therefore that's the main focus of testimony, and therefore it doesn't rise to the level of maisa. So what is the meaning of this? It might be true that seeing has no maisa, but in the end, through their testimony, something happened. He got punished. Shemes chayev anidin, that the defendant now is held responsible. U'mayishno mechosma b'koil. Therefore, what is the difference in the end between Edim Zaymimin, whose testimony also leads to something happening? How is that different from chosma b'koil, the chshiva maysed, where it is considered a maysed, v'shayidei debura nasa maysed, because through his yelling at the animal, it causes it not to eat? So then what's the difference between Edim Zaymimin and the Chosma B'Koil, according to the way the Taisus explains Chosma B'Koil, that it results in a Maisa? Babirba says, so therefore to explain this, Ein Kavonas HaTaisus Sh'Adam Nenesh Al Maisa Sh'Nas Al Yedei Acherim, the Taisus doesn't mean that I should be punished because the animal stopped eating. In other words, that something that somebody else did, a maisa that happened removed from me, I should be punished for that. That's not what the taisus means. Of course, I was the cause of the animal stopping to eat, but I didn't stop to eat. The animal stopped to eat, so how could I be held responsible for somebody else's maisa, something else's maisa? That's not what the taisus means. And in the parentheses, you're going to have to keep track to get back to outside the parentheses. In the reason for this kind of answer would be, Vatam, if this were the answer would be, Ein Ein Shemalkus Ela Im Kena Odom Eivra Leisa Yidei Maisa Shaloi. The rationale for not punishing somebody because of the animal stopping to eat would be, because when do you punish me for something that I do? You can only punish me for something that I do. L'chem enidin d'zeh shehu lo yasa ma'isa. Therefore, in this case of Chosam Bekel, where he didn't, the person didn't actually do a ma'isa, rak goram shabahema tiskeif as reisha, he only caused that the animal should lift up its head, the tidush v'le'achila, and to continue working without eating. Ein l'halkeis as a odam avur ha'ma'isa. You can't punish the person for the ma'isa of the behema. Yisabid al-yidei ha'behema besibiz deburay. That resulted from his speaking. So therefore, that would be the rationale for that. But that's not what the Tosis is saying. What is the Tosis saying? Ela kavanosami, the Tosis means to say, shekisha odom poil maisa biduburei. When a person causes something through his speech, haremikimisha maisa bo raka yedei deburei shol odom. Since the maisa comes only through what he said, it's a result of his speaking. The ma'isa is now considered to be a continuation of my speech. My speech turned into a ma'isa. Chelik mimenu, and therefore is still connected to me. Because it comes directly as a result of my speech. And therefore this is no longer considered merely saying, having said something. But that the speech now expressed itself in ma'isa. So the speech turned into a ma'isa. In other words, that the ma'isa is attributed to me. Ein dugma, in a slight comparison to this, an analogy for this could be somewhat, l'ma'isa shluchei shel adam k'ma'isa, that we say that a person's agent, it's like he is the agent. The agent is the sender. He acts on behalf of the sender. He is the sender. Especially if we go according to the opinion that is discussed in the Achreinen, that it's only this one particular act of the shliach, of the agent, which is attributed to the mashaleach, to the sender. In other words, that in essence, the shliach and the mashaleach have no connection to each other. This particular act is considered a continuation of the mashaleach, of the one who sent the agent. So we see that there is such a concept of, by me making somebody an agent, that act is attributed to me. So therefore also in a similar way, the words that I speak which lead to a ma'isa are a continuation of my speech. The ma'isa is attributed to my speech. And this is really what Rabbi Yochanan means when he says, "Akimis piv hava ma'isa," that the movement of my lips is the act. The fact that the animal stops eating because of my voice, the sound of my voice, this is my doing. I said something which caused the ma'isa. That ma'isa is attributed to me. Because since the voice came from the movement of my mouth, and the movement of my mouth is a physical act which is close, very close to the idea of ma'isa. Therefore, the act of the behema to stop eating, which comes as a result of my somewhat of a ma'isa through the movement of lips, so that act of the behema becomes a continuation of my movement of my lips, and it evolves into an act that the behema did, and therefore attributed to me. And therefore, this can only be said when it comes from a speech, from saying something. But if I were to think something which would lead to a ma'isa, my thoughts are very spiritual, more spiritual, and therefore ma'isa, it would be difficult to attribute my act, the act, to my machshava, because they don't lead from each other. Because it's, how could you say that it belongs, it's a continuation of my machshava? They're completely separate. They don't have any connection to each other. Canal, as we said before, that there is a vast difference between machshava and ma'isa. Dugma ladova b'shlichus, and the similarity and the same comparison, the analogy that we used before of shlichus, of agency, what would be the comparison here? Then when do we say that a shliach shel adam k'maysei, that the agent is like the sender and that his act is attributed to the sender. That's only if the two are similar to each other. Ma'at b'nei bris, for instance, if just as the mashaleach is a yid, the shliach has to be a yid. Af shluchachem. So, but if the shliach is not a yid, so then his acts will not be attributed to the mashaleach. In other words, that there has to be some similarity between linking these two things. And machshava and maisa are so far apart, just like the shliach, which is not a yid, and the mashaleach, which is a yid. Lachain, and therefore be'edim zaymim yeshem b'riya, be'edim zaymim, which, as he said, what do they do? They see, even though their seeing leads to this person being convicted, but we can't make a connection between something which is machshava, riya is closer to machshava than it is to dibur, and therefore you can't link the fact that they saw to the fact that he was convicted, because it's machshava to maisa and they're not connected. You can't connect the maisa, the conviction, to the ri'ya. Shetechoshev yesh b'maisa, that it should now be considered yesh b'maisa. That's how the Rebbe explains what the Gemara says, yesh b'ri'ya. Ulam ha'hefresh ha'na'o, but this difference should be machshava l'dibur hu rag b'odem ha'tachtet. This can only be said about a physical human being. Where my doing things, my maisa, is very much removed from myself. And therefore my thoughts, which are spiritual, are not connected to my maisa. They're far apart. Whereas my speech is connected, more closely connected to maisa. When we talk about Hashem, even his thoughts also bring about creation. The only difference is what type of a creation it leads to. That from Hashem's thoughts, which are more concealed, this brings about worlds, the creation of worlds, which also remain concealed. Ruchniyim, in other words, spiritual worlds. Omidiburay, whereas from his speech, liyesa begiliyesa, since his speech means that he reveals it more, nivruim and oilum azagashmi, that leads to creation of physical worlds. So, in other words, by the Eibishter, there is a link between his thoughts and his and his maisa. Al pisa muvan. So now we can understand shinin machshava ba adam lemata ein ba dimyin v'yishtavus lamachshava k'may shi'etz l'gosh baruch hu. That the thoughts of a person cannot be compared in any way to the thoughts of Hashem. The thoughts of a person don't lead to maisa; they're disconnected from maisa altogether. Whereas by the Hashem, even his thoughts are connected to maisa. Because a person's thoughts cannot have an effect on something outside him. But when we talk about the speech of a person, since they could lead to a maisa, as he explained earlier, therefore there is a certain similarity between his speech and his maisa. In the relationship between the speech and maisa of a person, there is somewhat of a relationship between the speech and the maisa of Hashem, because they both could lead to maisa. But although it's true that even the speech of a person, of course, even when we talk about speech, it's no comparison between the speech of Hashem and the speech of a person. Because when Hashem speaks, it literally leads to maisa. Because that is the method by which Hashem brings about the creation. Whereas when we talk about the speech of a person, it somehow is a cause, an indirect cause, or whatever, to a maisa outside of him. Abel eina eisa maisa b'dibura, but my speech does not bring about actual maisa. B'chol ze yesh b'nei mishtabas b'inin shal pa'ulas, but there is somewhat of a connection between the speech of Hashem and the speech of a person as it leads to maisa. Not the same, but somewhat it does have a connection to maisa, even by a person. Pisa Yeshlevair, So based on this, we can explain. Time yachaluk and shabbat shvisas ha'odam b'shabbes mimaisa l'shvisas mediba machshava. The reason why there is a difference between a person's being commanded to rest from work on Shabbos and as it expresses itself in speaking about malacha or thinking about malacha. Klolus tam hashvisa b'shabbos mefurish b'kra. The general reason why we are commanded to refrain from work on Shabbos is, as the pasuk says, "Kishesh yom osa Hashem," 6 days Hashem did work. Therefore, a person has to also cease from work on Shabbos. Mekiven shekain, since this is so, ima yeshe shvisas hakadosh baruch hu mebriyas olam siya yidei sheshavas gam machshava bedibur. That even though it's true that by Hashem, when he stopped creating, he stopped also from thinking and speaking. Bekol makim. Still, since in the world of a person, in a person's world, his thinking and his speech doesn't cause things to happen. Therefore, the prohibition to work doesn't extend to speaking or thinking. Certainly not to thinking. Still, since there is somewhat of a comparison between a person's speech and a Shem's speech, because they both in some way lead to asiyah, because even the speech of a person can somewhat, maybe indirectly, but it can lead to a pa'ula canal, as he mentioned at length before. Therefore, the Chachamim, who they say that you have to also refrain from things which are similar to malachas, as they say widely across all the malachas of Shabbos. So, therefore, they also included dibur, which is similar to the malacha of work. So they also said, midarabanan, you have to be refrained from speaking on matters of malacha, also just as Hashem did. Im kigzeres chachamim lishbeis ma'adibur ein rak sheyishbeis midiburim hamachriche ma'ase. And although, when the chachamim said that you're not allowed to speak about malacha on Shabbos, they didn't limit it to only such speech which will actually lead to Maisa, like in the case of Chosma Bekoil, or other speech which leads to things happening. It's all kinds of speech, even speech that doesn't lead to directly to Asiya, or even indirectly to Asiya. So therefore you could ask the question, why would they also prohibit speaking in matters of malacha which don't lead to asiya, which is very different than the way the Eivishter creates, or the way the Eivishter speaks. Hare mikiva, and still mikiva the zesh the diburu shel adam mishtabek tzasel diburu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since the speech of a person has somewhat of a similarity to the Hashem's words, mitzad muhusay shel adibur, because of what dibur is, so there is in some ways that dibur does compared to Hashem's dibur. Ashidiyetsa gashmi shaykh v'karavu l'maisa. Since dibur, a person's speech is more gashmiistic and therefore it's closer to maisa. L'chein osa chacham adibur gami meina poil maisa. Therefore they prohibited all speech. Even if this particular speech doesn't lead to maisa. Sharei b'mahusay hu ha'inyin shebesharusay l'havid l'day maisa. Because in essence, speech has the ability to be able to lead to maisa. Therefore all speech they prohibit. All speech connected to malacha. Motzinu dugma l'svara zu ba'alacha, and we find a similarity to this idea in halacha as well. Being in alav the lav she'ein b'maisa, and also in the same subject of lav she'ein b'maisa. Yedua shitas ha-magad mishnah. We know what the magad mishnah says b'das ha-ramam in regards to what the ramam says. The lav she'yecholim la'aver olav al-yedei maisa gomor. The Magid Mishnah says that in trying to explain that a lav she'ein b'maisa, even if there is some way in which this lav This is what he says. If this love involves, can be done through a maisa, for instance, lesachshim sher bedishay, not to muzzle an animal while it's threshing. The normal way of doing that is b'maisa. You put a muzzle on the animal. That's a maisa. So if you do it through dibur, that's not called lav sheim b'maisa, because this lav has a way to do it b'maisa. Therefore, if you do it through dibur, you violated a lav for which you get malchus. That's how the Magen Mishnah explains it. Because v'u achreinim, in regards to this, the achreinim write, the klal zeh hu rakim over al lav al kaponim al yedei dibur shuktsas maisa. That when would this be true, what the Magen Mishnah says? That's only if you did it, you were over the lav at least through dibur. Avalin loy hayashom afilu dibur. But if he was over the lav, not even through dibur, even though he thought to be over an avera, as enaloike, he wouldn't get malchus, because there is a vast difference between something that could have a maisa and machshava, which is completely removed. Just to do the parentheses, what's the example of a machshava which could lead to a maisa? Like if somebody leaves his chametz on Pesach, he allows something to become chametz on Pesach, or he leaves it around, there's chametz there which he's now obligated on Pesach to destroy, and he doesn't. So he's not doing a maisa. He's thinking, he wants it to stay till after Pesach, he wants the chametz. So he thought an aveira. And there is the general way that the person creates chametz is through maisa. He would normally make something into chametz. So this is an aveira which involves generally maisa. In this case, he didn't say anything to be over the aveira. He thought that he wants the chametz. He wouldn't get malchus for that, because even though this is called an aveira which is connected to maisa, but he did it through machshava. Through machshava, you wouldn't get punished because it's so removed. So that's the comparison, the dogma. And we can might explain it in this way. That even though this, in other words, going back to why the Chachamim asked all Dibur on Shabbos, not only the ones that lead to Maisa. So we can explain it that even though Dibur Zeh Atzmer Legara Maisa, even though this particular Dibur did not cause a Maisa, since it is somewhat of a maisa, begeda ligre maisa. In other words, dibur in itself has the ability to cause maisa. Shapir ma'anshim olav dechoshev ki yesh b'maisa. That's why it could be considered that it is a lav sheyesh b'maisa. Masha'en ke machshavas aveda. Whereas when we talk about thoughts of an aveda, she'ena begeda maisa klal, that it has no connection to maisa at all. Ein nechneses b'geder the yesh b'maisa. It doesn't come to the category of machshava that has maisa, an act that has maisa. V'lachem gozer chachamim shvus ma'adibur mitam shvoyis kavaya. And therefore the chachamim asered only from dibur mitzad shvoyis kavaya, but not machshava. Havo benegeil machshava. But when we talk about machshava of a person, the machshava of a person has no comparison to the thought of Hashem. There would be no reason even midrabbanan to aser it, because by a person machshava doesn't lead to anything. Whereas when it comes to a chassid that wants to go beyond the letter of the law, and he wants to be connected to Hashem in every way, Zor gamma machshavas malacha, he would be careful even from thinking about a malacha. The machshav peil shavas hagadosh baruch hu machshavas, since in the way he's thinking, the Eibishter did refrain from thinking on Shabbos, and therefore he nimitzad advegas bedrachav ubemidoisav. So since this chassid, his intention is to be connected to Hashem in every single way possible, and he's connected to everything that Hashem does, mahu Afata, just like he does something, so also you should do the same. Hushayv is gamma machshavta. Therefore, he wants to be connected even through thoughts. That if the Eibishter to stop thinking, I am not going to think about machshava either. al pi kol anal. So based on all of this, yisbaru adiyukim anal siv gimel. This will explain those questions that we asked about what the Alter Rebbe said, b'siyam atanya. Kavonas admura zakani. What did the Alter Rebbe mean to say in the Tanya there? Number one, to explain the reason why a person should not speak any empty words on Shabbos. Also to explain why it applies only to dibur but not to thinking. And therefore he only says that you shouldn't speak things of that nature. But he doesn't say that you shouldn't think things. So he has to explain, why am I only applying this to speech and not to thought? Therefore he explains, that shomer in the pnimi, in the inner dimension of shomer, is that you shouldn't say things which are gashmi. Is kamei sheshavas Hashem yud mamar shenivru behem shemayim baras gashmim. Just like Hashem rested from not creating the heavens and earth, the physical heaven and earth. Mavayir bazeh. So through these words, he's explaining number one, tamas hirus medibur, why a person shouldn't speak. Liyesh medibur odem ugashmi, since a person, he's trying to bring out this, what we just spoke about in the last few pages, that comparing a person's speech, which is also gashmi v'lechein, b'afshurusu l'achriach ma'isa, and therefore is somewhat linked to ma'isa. This brings out the similarity of a person's speech to somewhat be similar to Hashem's speech. That since it's closer to Ma'isin, by the Eibishter, not closer, by the Eibishter, it's close. His speech is close to Ma'isa. That's why through this he created Gashmias. Therefore, a person in his speech, which is also Gashmi Yizdik, also has to be careful not to speak, because there is somewhat of a similarity. Beis, the second thing he wants to explain is Tam Zeh Einu Shayach B'Machshava, that this reasoning doesn't apply to Machshava, because Inyan Machshava Eitzel Adam Ein Lakira L'Maisa, because by a person his thoughts have no connection to Maisa, V'Lachein Ein L'Dimi L'Machshav Teshol Gosh Baruch Hu, therefore cannot be in any way compared to Hashem's thoughts, Shenivu M'menu Eilmas Ruchnim, through which the Eivishter did in fact create Eilmas, although they were Ruchnim. So therefore he's explaining that this only applies to Gashmiim, because a person's speech also has this element of Gashmi in it, and therefore is close to Maisa, and therefore you're not allowed to speak. Whereas Machshava is Ruchnim, and therefore it doesn't apply. And according to this, we can explain at least as a possible explanation. This brings out these words that we just explained from Tanya are from the very end of Tanya. And so now it brings a connection between the beginning of Tanya and the end of Tanya. Al derech notz tfilosofim b'tchilosim, as we say, that the end is always wedged in the beginning. It says in the beginning, mashvim oiseti tzaddik, that they administer an oath to the neshama that it should be a tzaddik. Dehini yedua kusha, we know the famous question, eich mahani shvua ti tzaddik la neshama ala guva yetzara. How is it going to help that you make the neshama swear that it will be a tzaddik, then it comes into contact with the guf and the yetzer hara? The guf and the yetzer hara didn't swear. What is their connection to it? Because the neshama doesn't have the control of the guf and the yetzer hara, at least not to some degree, and they don't exist yet. It hasn't happened yet, and so on. How is this oath helping? So the Tzemach Tzedek explains, ki al yidei ha-shvua mamshichim ha-me'irim al ha-chelek ha-neshama, through the shvua, we bring down and we illuminate that part of the neshama shebeguf, which does enter the guf, mevchinis mazlei, it brings a ha'ora from the level of mazlei, haynu sha-shvua ma'ireres keiches na'lomim, in other words, that this shvua awakens and brings out concealed powers, ha-mekifim ala'od shala'odam, those that those keichas hamakifim, which normally do not illuminate the neshama as it is in the guf, that they should illuminate the neshama as it is in the guf. And through this, he will be able to overpower the guf and the yetzahara. So it comes out. It also brings out that same relationship between dibur, when you cause the neshama to take an oath, in other words, dibur, that it has an effect on the actual behavior of the person. Because that is somewhat linked to maisa. That through this dibur, through this oath, there is now a connection between the neshama, the oath of the neshama, and the maisa of the person. That he will have to act based on this oath. As he said before, that when a king says, that's what drives people to do what he said. Whereas if it was remained a machshava, it wouldn't be linked to the behavior of the guf. That's the connection between the end and the beginning. Yudalef. Gimel chalukam anal b'malach ha-shabbos b'signat teres achsidus. The difference between the thought, speech, and action in chsidus words. Amar Razal. Our sages tell us, chavivim divrei seifrim edivrei teira, that to us, the mitzvahs, the rabbanon, the halachas of the rabbanon are even more dear than the words of the Torah. But Tam, the reason for this is, kidivir Torah imatzivuim shalomayla asher adam muchrach l'kaimam, that the words of the Torah, those are the commands from Hashem that a person is forced to keep. You have to keep it, you have no choice. L'chein avaydus adam kim mitzvah. And therefore, when a person does the mitzvahs of the Torah, it brings out that a person is willing to accept the Eibishter's commands, actual commands, and he will live by those commands. But that's all it says. But when a person is more connected to the Eibishter, more attached, but the person's connection to the Eibishter through performing the mitzvahs mid rabbanon is a much deeper connection. Because from the fact that it's not enough for him that he does only what the Torah commanded directly, and therefore takes it upon himself that he will do even the gedarim and the siyogim and those things which are the surrounding things to keep a person away from an aveira and so on. This shows that it's not just because I was told to do it, I have no choice. It's because I want to be involved in that. I want to stay away from something which is wrong. Therefore, I take upon myself more than I'm actually required to by the Eibishter's direct command. And therefore, it brings out a connection to the Eibishter, which is a much deeper connection. But even so, there is the Eibishter's commands and the Eibishter, and then there is me, and I want to be connected, but they're with two separate entities. But my will becomes to be closer to Hashem. On a higher level than this is what's called a chassid, especially when we talk about on the level, as it says in the chassidim yatir megameyu, even more than myself, when he completely dedicates himself. In other words, that the Eibishter's metzias is even more important than my metzias. Which means that I'm not a metzias at all. It's really all the Eibishter. My whole reason, that my only reason for being, is that I need to provide the Eibishter with nachas ruach. So in accordance with these three levels, b'avaydus ha'adam, yesh gimel b'chinas elu mil mailu lamata, b'agiluyim mil Milo Lamata. So these three levels are reflected in these three things. Aleph, Bechinas HaMachshava. There is the level of Machshava. She'ein ba makam klal l'metziyus l'davar shulchus v'menu. When we talk about Machshava, Machshava doesn't involve anything outside me at all. U'mebechinas zu nishavu almen stimin, and from this level came the concealed word, she'ein b'telem b'mekayim, which are just like the chassid, completely bottled. to the Eibishter. They have no metzias of their own. They're totally bottled to the Eibishter. Beis, there is the level of Bechinas Dibur. Shenoisin Mokim Gam Le'olam She Bahargoshosei Hu B'metzias B'fnei Atzmei. When the Eibishter creates worlds through Dibur, he brings about such worlds which have, from their perspective, their own metzias. But the Eibishter's Dibur has to evolve down to the level of Maisa. Because if the worlds were to come directly from Dibur, even though Dibur already, as we know, allows for something outside, that's the purpose of Dibur. But the purpose of Dibur is revealing what's within the person. So also when the Eibishter reveals through Dibur, it's revealing himself. But in order for a world to be able to come about in which the Eibishter's Metzias will not be directly felt, it has to evolve lower into a Maisa in which the Eibishter, the fact that it came from directly within the Eibishter, is not sensed. So therefore it doesn't come directly from Dibur, it must evolve down to Maisa. Gimel, then there is a level of Maisa which is the outermost part of Hashem's ability to create, and is Nifrid Kaviyachol, that part of Elokus which is, so to speak, completely removed and therefore is Nislabish in Gashmias and is completely concealed, and that's the level of Maisa. And based on this explanation, we can explain the differences of the way keeping Shabbos is divided into three different categories. When a person is connected to the Eibishter, when a person is connected to the Eibishter based on what he does, which is of course a very outer surface type of connection, which part of a lakus is he connected to? A chitzayin is the part of a lakus, that part of a lakus which is invested in gashmias. And therefore what he senses, what he's connected to, is the fact that Hashem stopped working, he stopped doing asiya. As we said before, that the outermost part of the resting that Hashem came to. Therefore, menatayra, that's all that's expected, that's all that's demanded. When a person is more connected to the Eibishter, as we said before, what is expressed through doing the mitzvahs the Rabbanon, this person has a more revealed connection, attachment to Elokus, and therefore he becomes connected to the part of Elokus which is expressed through Dibur. And therefore he also is connected to the fact that the Eibishter rested from speaking as well. He senses that too. He wants to be connected to that too. But Oidna could have been another point in regards to this. That when a person is connected to the Eibishter, therefore, are Eved Melech Melech, we know that the servant of a king is also somewhat of a king. And therefore, his speech, just as the king's words have an effect, so also the Eved Melech also. Choshuv Maisa, therefore it's considered a Maisa in itself. Al derech Maimer Hazal, as we know what the Chachamim say, Tzadik Geizah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, that when a Tzadik decrees, says something, the Eibishter fulfills it. In other words, the Yaseinim is even more than that, Amirashim Shal Tzadikim Maisa, that the words of Tzadikim are a fact. And therefore, just as the Eved Melech, because the Tzadik is connected to the Eibishter also on the level of Dibur, therefore his Dibur becomes like the words of Hashem himself, that they're connected to Maisa, they lead to Maisa. The Chosid, and then we get to an even higher Dagesh, Eina Metzias Latz Miklal, who has no Metzias of his own at all. Meira etzle gam bechinas machshava shalemaila. Therefore, he is connected and has a rebel. He senses in revealed way also the thoughts of Hashem. Shein in the senes makam lemitzias ulasa yisbarach. In thought, there is no consideration of anything outside of him at all, outside of the Eivishter at all. There's no mitzias outside of him at all. Cheinu zor gam machshavas malach. And therefore, the chassid will also be careful from even thinking about malachi. Gimitzad vekusa velukus. Because since that chassid is so attached to the Elokus, nirgash etzel shvitz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gam mebchinas machshava, he also feels and senses the Eibishter's ceasing from even thinking. And therefore, he also doesn't think in Inyan HaMelacha. Well, Pisa movement. So based on this, we understand, Masha B'Siyam HaTanya Maktav Admor HaZokar Mabir Depnimis B'chinas Zohar. That's why the Alter Rebbe first explains the Inyan of Zohar, which he asked all the way in the beginning, why does the Alter Rebbe have to explain Zohar since the issue at hand is Shomer? The reason is, Shehi HaKavona B'Tfilos, the Zohar, he explains, means that a person focuses on davening. What does it mean, focusing on davening? L'dofka B'Avaya Echad. That the meaning of that is to be completely connected to the Eibishter. Because by the Alter Rebbe bringing in this discussion of Zohar, L'dofka B'Avaya Echad, through tefillah, through this he explains better, and even better, that a person has to refrain from speaking on matters of Gashmi, just like the Eibishter did. Even though there is, of course, that difference that the Eibishter's words lead to Maisa, but this explains why he should do it. The Mitzad Advekos Bavaya, because of his connection to Avaya, through Hashem. Through davening, nirgash etzla adam ashvisad l'mayla mebchinas dibor. Through this, it brings out a connection to something higher than ma'isa, even to dibor. And this is accomplished through the tefillah l'davkubay. V'afal became, and even though he talks about l'davkubay, so then why doesn't it extend to machshava too? If so, if it's talking about Ludovka Bay, which is the level of a chassid, why doesn't he also apply the same issa to Machshava? Afal pi kein, he's a rakala shvisa medibur, still he only applies the issa to speaking. He's a ral shvisa me machshava, and he doesn't talk about being careful not to think matters of malacha. Ki atayr al reif tadaba, since the Torah talks to the majority, and this kind of a level of chassid, which is so connected to the Eibishter that he has no metzias at all, and therefore he is so connected that he's connected to machshava, that doesn't apply to most people. It's only by a very select few individuals, and therefore the Alter Rebbe doesn't speak to everybody addressing the issues of these high level people.